seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, and the 20th verse. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, and the 20th verse. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4 and verse 20. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. This sacred chapter contains, first of all, the dear Lord Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And how the blessed Saviour himself was full of the Holy Ghost as he had just returned from Jordan, being baptized of John. But he must go into this wilderness to be tempted. And there's no doubt there are those of you who can look back through the past year and you've known times of great temptation. And so often when we're in times of great temptation, we wonder whether we are deceived in everything. We wonder whether any of God's people have entered into such temptations. But let us be assured of this, that if our religion is real, we shall know much of the temptations of Satan, just as the dear Saviour did. We sing in the hymn, don't we? He was tried and tempted too, or to succour every tempted burdensome. The devil will never tempt his own, but he will ever tempt the real child of God. But look how wonderfully, after all those great temptations, the dear Saviour returned and he enters into Galilee, full of the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. You see, with all the power Satan had, he could not begin to take away the power there was in the Lord Jesus. We think of those beautiful words that Jesus said when he was to send forth his dear disciples just before he entered into heaven. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And what a mercy it is, in this dark and solemn day, we still have a blessed Saviour who has all power. And here he showed his power in overcoming Satan and all the bitter temptations that he had to endure. But then we find the precious Son of God entering into the synagogue. And It was the Sabbath day. Oh, may we know a little on this last Lord's Day of this year, a little of the sacredness that there was in this synagogue when the Saviour entered. As he entered into that synagogue, the power of the Spirit was upon him. And we read, he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What sacred language dropped from the lips of the Saviour here. And there are a few things I just want to name. One is how the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And one thinks, as we come to the close of this year, may we know, as we, if we are spared to the new year, know what it is to enjoy personally the Spirit of the Lord to be upon us in some sacred measure. Because it will be a blessed beginning to the new year, it will be a blessed closing to the old year, if we are favoured like the Saviour read here and was spoken by the prophet concerning Jesus himself, but is to be known in measure by each of his dear people. We often quote that word, except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. And may we know the sweet Spirit of Christ being upon us. And if he is upon us, it will soften our hearts, first of all. It will melt us. It will empty us of ourselves. It will empty us of the things of this world. And it will control our thoughts, our actions, our steps, our ways. We're not our own. You think, and I speak it with much reverence of the dear Lord Jesus, how he was continually doing the will of his beloved Father. And he was ever under the influence of the blessed Holy Spirit, resting upon him. And may we know a little of the same. When we look back of our godly forefathers, how the Lord so favoured them with these things. But then he says, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If ever a man preached the gospel to the poor, it was the dear Lord Jesus himself. And you think how poor you may feel, I may feel today. It's these poor that need the gospel, isn't it? We read in Matthew concerning his ministry in that sacred sermon where he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And it is unto the poor that the gospel is preached. And why is it preached to the poor? Because they need that blessed gospel. And what is that gospel? It's Christ and Him crucified. And He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. There may be many that have walked through this year brokenhearted. Many sorrows because of their sins and unbelief, because of the sorrows of the journey. Oh, brokenhearted. And here is promise to heal such characters. And we think of those that are walking in affliction today. May that sweet word be applied to each of us in affliction, to heal the brokenhearted. And Christ came to, you think of the wonderful healing that was given to so many while the Saviour walked this earth. Oh, the healing of those that were blind, the restoring of their sight, the healing of those that have got afflictions that no earthly physician could heal, like the woman with the issue of blood and others. But He healed them, didn't He? I love that couplet of the hymn, "'Tis He that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again." And oh, may we know that sweet healing of body, of mind, but greater, the healing of our souls. Those that are brokenhearted because of sin. The hymn writer said, "Heal the festering sores of sin and make us young again." He has sent me, and what a mercy that is. He has sent me. How willing the Saviour was to come to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance unto the captives. Now I just hint at these things in leading up to the text, but you see many sermons could be preached on them. To preach deliverance to the captives. There are many of God's dear children today that are bound there in captivity. It's like the children of Israel when they were in Babylonish captivity. They couldn't free themselves, could they? No man could deliver them, set them free. But the Lord was to do it in His time, in His way. And may this coming year, may it please the Lord to fulfill this sacred word that deliverance might be given to those in captivity. Those that are bound by Satan. Those that are bound by sin. Those that are bound by unbelief. Those that are bound by the law. Those that are bound by this world and all its bondage. And oh, may there be a deliverance from this captivity. You think of Jonah when he was in the fish's belly. There he was in captivity. And sometimes we can come into captivity because of disobedience, not obeying the Lord's command. But you know, the Lord was to deliver him, wasn't He? He can deliver those that are bound to die, like He did Lazarus. Oh, that's a beautiful word, and may the Holy Spirit speak it to us. What Christ said when Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. The hymn writer said, didn't he, say to the wicked jailer sin, loose him and let him go. You know, there's many I long for and have for many years in Zion that the Lord would loose them from their captivity. Now they're bound. hand and foot by sin. But oh, what a mercy it is when the Lord loosed them. Because when we're loosed, you see, set free from this bondage, delivered from it, we'll be like a bird let out of a cage. Nothing can hold the sinner then. Their soul is free. What did Jesus say? If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. And recovering of sight to the blind. You know, we're so often, aren't we, blind. There's many ways we could look at this, but those that are blind in the world, headlong plunge in their mad career, those that are blind in natural religion. Oh, he can restore the sight so they can see the sin they're in, the way they're going, and be brought to seek the Lord and to serve him. But then, after the Lord has called the sinner by grace, so many times we're blind, aren't we? We cannot see our way. We stumble along. We're like a blind person. But oh, what a difference when the Lord grants what's in this text, prior to our text, the recovering of sight. So sight is wonderfully restored, you see. We can see the Lord's way, we can see his dealings, we can see his goings. We can see the way he would have us to go. I will bring the blind, he says, by a way that they knew not. And I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And oh, you think of those wonderful promises that follow it. I will make the crooked things straight, the rough places plain, the darkness light. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Oh, the Lord seals it with that wonderful promise. These things will I do unto them. And as you venture into this new year, and I, may we see the Lord wonderfully fulfill it. The recovering of sight to the blind. Those of you that may say, well, if only we could see our way, we could see the purposes of the Lord in all what we're walking through. Well, here's the wonderful promise, the recovering of sight, so you can see your way, so you can see the passage clear, you can see the Lord's will, you can see his purposes. But then to the soul that seems to walk in the dark and they cannot view the Saviour as they have in previous years, in previous days. Oh, to have a recovering of that sight, a blessed sight by faith of the dear Redeemer. See him as he is. Well, really, if you want an illustration of it in the Word of God, you look at Thomas. He'd seen the miracles that Jesus had performed. He'd seen the wondrous works of the Saviour. And he'd known what it was to view the dear Redeemer by faith. But, oh, look, unbelief creeps in. Thomas is doubting. And after those 8 days, there he was with those dear disciples. And what does Jesus do? He recovers the sight of that dear man and shows him those pierced hands and pierced side. And oh, look at the soft-hearted Thomas now, my Lord and my God, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know, Satan continually tries to bruise the child of God. You think how the Saviour was bruised. how he was, and in Isaiah 53, despised and rejected of men. Now many, you know, can be bruised by men. We can be bruised by God's people, left to themselves. There are many bruises that the real child of God will have. And sometimes we're bruised when we fall, aren't we? But here he says, and this sacred word has set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now these are the things the Saviour read to those in the synagogue. And what a blessed testimony it was. And what was it all spoken for? It was all prophesied concerning him. He goes on to say in the verse following our text, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Oh, you think of it. Well, I just want to tarry a moment there. Has the Lord given you a promise? You long for him to fulfill a sacred word from his own lips. You think all those years when Isaiah before prophesied concerning these wondrous truths, they were all to be fulfilled. He says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Are there those that long for the fulfillment of what the Lord has promised? Concerning your own soul? Concerning your loved ones? Concerning the house of God? Concerning Zion? And may it be concerning this nation. Be a blessed day this scripture is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And you think you could take it step by step, really. You think of the glorious birth that we have sought to celebrate in this past week of the Lord Jesus. That was the wonderful fulfillment of what God had said in Holy Scripture. He must come. And then you take it concerning his life, his sufferings. This scripture, the path he trod, was to be fulfilled in their ears. And then regarding his ministry, it was all to be fulfilled. You know, the word of God will ever be fulfilled. What he has said must and shall be fulfilled. To men it may look impossible, and it's no doubt there were those in Isaiah's day that said, well, this is impossible. But it was with them, but it wasn't with the Lord, was it? And you may have got some impossibilities as you come to the close of this year, but oh, may this scripture be fulfilled in your ears. Be a sacred day, wouldn't it? And then you think of the sufferings of Christ in Isaiah 53. Every particle of that was to be fulfilled. And then you think of his glorious ascension into glory. It was all to be fulfilled. And so it will be in the experiences of the Lord's dear children. But I must come to the text. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. He'd read that which was appointed of heaven that should be read, and he could well close the book. Nothing further need to be said. I remember taking a funeral of one of the Lord's dear servants some years ago. And I said as I commenced the address at that funeral service that really there was nothing for me to say, because the Lord had said it all through his ministry. And that would seem so wonderful to me, you know. I did say several things, but you know, you think of it. His life had said it. His ministry had said it. The testimony among God's people had said it all. There was nothing really further to be said. I remember going to a funeral in London of the late deacon at Ponsard Road, and Mr. LSB Hyde took it, and he said, "Beloved friends," he said, "really I needn't say anything." Because he said, you know, his life, his actions, everything had said it all of whom he loved and whom he served and how he walked before the world and before God. Wonderful testimonies. Now think of the Saviour here. He reads this sacred things concerning himself which had been wonderfully prophesied. And he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He could well close the book, couldn't he? Nothing further needed to be read. Do you know what it is? And I hadn't thought of taking this line at all this morning, but do you know what it is sometimes when maybe the text is read by the Lord's servant and the text is so life and power to you that really nothing else need to be said in your heart and in your pathway? You will sit and listen to the discourse. You enjoy it, maybe, and it be life and power to you. But what are you said, you see? And that's a very sacred place to be in. It may be, I think I've told you before, of that dear lady in London that was ever so deaf and she couldn't hear any of the services or what was taking place in the chapel, but she was always there in her seat. She loved the house of God. She loved the Lord. She loved his ways. Many used to say, "Well, why did she come?" Because she couldn't hear anything. But Mr. Popham was preaching on one occasion, and during his sermon he quoted these words: "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And after the service, the dear woman was asked by Mr. Popham whether she heard anything, because he knew her situation and the deafness she had. She said, "Mr. Popham, there's one thing I heard, and it is this: my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." And dear Mr. Popham, he looked at the dear lady, he said, "You didn't need anything else, did you? Everything she needed was in it, you see." Now, well could he close the book. The dear Saviour here, he'd read all that was necessary and vital for that occasion from God's holy word. And it was just what there were those there that needed. Of course, he went on to expound on it, which was very blessed. But this text, you may think it's strange that I've named it this morning, but I was thinking of the close of this year. And as I thought of the close of another year, this text dropped in and he closed the book. That clause was particularly applied, and he closed the book. Now, as helped, I want to look at that in a few ways. First of all, this year and the book of this year will soon be closed. We cannot close it. It's the Lord that will close it. And the book has been written of all that has taken place in this year, in your heart, in your life. It's recorded in heaven and the life of all men. And the book is to be closed, the close of the book of this year. of this year. And really, that is a searching point, isn't it? And he closed the book. And you see, the Lord will, if time is spared, will open the book of a new year. Oh, he will. And you think of all the years that have passed since this scripture and this occasion was recorded. And he closed the book, and those years are all closed, and they're all recorded in heaven of everything that has taken place. Now, when we come to the close of the year, as I said in prayer, there's much to look back on to as we commence the service to praise the Lord with us. The mercies of another year, that we are not cut off as cumbers of the ground, that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. When you think of what we deserved. But oh, look back at the mercy. What did dear Jeremiah say? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And he closed the book. Now, have we got an exercise in our heart we need the Lord to close, to bring it to fruition? It's like an author when he writes his book, or she writes the book, and we think of the godly authors particularly, you know, there comes the close, doesn't it? The close of that book. The satisfaction that it's all completed. Now, look in your heart, have we got an exercise that we need the Lord to complete? That the whole matter may be closed, you see. It's a wonderful thing, I think, of the exercise of baptism, the exercise of the ministry, when the Lord wonderfully closes the matter, brings it all to fruition, completes it, you see. This sacred scripture the Saviour had read was complete. There was everything in it, you see. And that's a wonderful thing when the Lord, it may be an exercise, he completes it. Well, let me use an illustration. You think of the exercise of dear Hannah concerning having her Samuel. There's no doubt that caused the dear woman such anguish of soul, her barrenness. But that barrenness was to be closed by the Lord. We read in the Revelations, don't we? He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. The Lord is shutting this year, closing it. And if time is and it's his holy will and we're spared, he will open another year. He openeth. And think of it in the case of Hannah. You know, nothing could open her womb but the Lord. Nothing could bring to fruition the exercise of the dear woman's heart but the Lord. He was to do it. And he was to close that exercise by bringing the whole thing to fruition, to give her a Samuel. And he closed the book. And oh, you think of the joy there was in the heart of that dear woman when the Lord wonderfully did it and fulfilled it. She could well say, I will lend him to the Lord all the days of his life. Behold, for this child have I prayed, and the Lord hath granted me my petition that I ask of him. But then there are the searching sides to this, and he closed the book. You think of some of the troubles you may be in, the afflictions you may be in. What a mercy when the Lord closes the book in this sense and he grants that healing and restoring. Because he alone can. And he closed the book. And granted that sweet restoring and reviving and healing. Think of it with the dear woman with the issue of blood. You see, no earthly physician could close the book on it. But the Lord could. And in his time and way, he was to do it. But when was it? When no earthly physician could do it, and when it looked an impossibility with men, an impossibility with the dear woman. But you see, faith in exercise in that dear woman longed for the Lord to close the book that she might know complete healing, restoring. And the Lord did it, didn't he? He closed the book and she was restored and healed both in soul and too in body. But what a solemn thing it is. And when I say it's a searching thing, there are several ways it is searching. The first I would name is this. When there's disagreements between maybe brethren or maybe those that oppose you. And people just keep raking and raking at the things and making it worse and worse and worse when they should close the book on it. Leave it all in the Lord's hand. I remember some years ago there were those that were causing much havoc in Zion, and I and one or two other ministers had to go and meet these people. And it was very searching. And I remember saying at that meeting, you should forget and forgive. And, you know, they weren't willing to close the book on it. And they festered it and raked at it for years. And, you know, solemn issues came. The Lord dealt with them concerning it. Death came. What a solemn thing to come to the hour of death and be at opposition with God's people, his servants, when they should close the book. Leave it in the Lord's hand and seek for grace to be submissive and heal it as grace is given. And he closed the book. A new thing, how solemn to come to the hour of death and there be solemn divisions and animosity against the servants of God or against his people. You see, there are various books which we have time spares and we are allowed, I want to look at. Now these books, and he closed the book. But then what is so searching too is this. We look back through this year and there have been many the Lord has closed the book of their lives. They've been taken from this earth. You think of the two on the cross beside the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus in the midst. The Lord closed the book on one man and he's in hell today, according to the Holy Word of God. The other, the Lord closed the book. He was a poor, vile sinner, just the same as the other. He said, didn't he? We indeed do justly, deserve all what we're enduring. But when he looked at Christ, what did he say? But this man hath done nothing amiss. And what did he cry out? Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. You know, the dear man knew eternity was at the doors. The Lord was closing the book of his life. And he so wanted to be ready, didn't he? And so wanted to be with the Lord Jesus. How is it with you and with me? If we're spared to enter into the new year, none of us know whether we should close it. But the Lord will close the book of our lives. And he closed the book. And you know, none know how soon the Lord will close the book of our lives. We can be here one moment, we can be in eternity the next. And he closed the book. But oh, to be ready for that book to be closed, to be prepared. What did Jesus say to his dear disciples? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And this is where the child of God longs to be. And they don't mind how soon he closes the book if they're ready, do they? Waiting for his coming. I've seen several of the Lord's dear saints, you know, over the years that are just patiently waiting for his coming. They're finished with the earth. The Lord has closed the book of this world to them. He's closed the book of time. Things of the earth mean nothing to them. And they're waiting for him to close the book of their life here, that they might be with him in glory without a veil between. Now, are we ready for the Lord to close that book? And he closed the book. Now, this is recorded in God's holy word, and he, Jesus, closed the book. Let us remember who this he is, and he, the Saviour himself, he that came to suffer, to bleed, to die, to redeem his dear children. And he has power to close the book. He is the judge of the whole earth. And what a mercy we have such a judge who has paid the price to redeem poor black vile sinners. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now in conclusion, where are your eyes fastened? Where are mine? You think as we close this year, oh, to have our eyes fastened upon Christ. Wonderful word, isn't it? Fixed upon him. If we're spared to enter the new year, may this be our blessed occupation. Our eyes fastened upon him, in whom all our hope for time and eternity rests. Amen.